You are now listening to the iScript of Soul Shadows 2, Sentimental Reasons. Fade in. A candle. The flame dances, alive. A distant rumble of thunder. Pulling back reveals that the base of this candle rests in a pool of wax, atop a human skull. Pulling back further reveals the alcove, lit by 100 candles of every conceivable shape and size. Interior. The alcove. Tanis stands with her back to us, facing her mahogany display cabinet. Its doors swung wide open. Tanis, why are you back here? She reaches into the cabinet and retrieves an item, holding it in a closed fist. Tanis be thinking you forgot about her. But Tanis be remembering you. Tanis don't forget nothing. As Tanis turns to face us, another thunderclap, this one louder, closer. She looks up toward the roof. Tanis, somewhat angry tonight. Been a long time. You pick a dark night to return. With a wave of her arm, every candle's extinguished, except one, the skull candle at the center of her small table. Tanis approaches this table. She seems to glide across the stone floor in her black caftan. Tanis been thinking she going to tell you how even something happy bring you sorrow. Tanis eases herself into the single chair at her table. She waves us over, a final clap of thunder as she begins her tale. At the table, Tanis holds her hand above the candle, opens her fist, and lets the item fall. A bronze keychain dangles from one finger, an intricate souvenir from some happy time long past, a miniature replica of a Ferris wheel. Tanis, fortune, she turning like a wheel. She taps the small wheel with her finger and sets it to spinning. Tanis, sometimes you up, sometimes you down, ain't no reason, and ain't no stopping her. On the keychain, the miniature Ferris wheel whirls before our eyes, the faint sound of carnival music filter in, so soft as to barely be heard. Tanis, off-screen, you try and she roll you down, crush you flat. And an image begins to form. It surrounds the spinning wheel, and it darkens, taking shape to become the eye of an old man. Focused, stern, displeased with what it sees, the dim shadow of the Ferris wheel whirls in his iris. Tanis, voiceover, some people spend their lives going in circles, going nowhere. But the man I be telling you about, he be going somewhere all right, and his tale be called For Sentimental Reasons. Super, For Sentimental Reasons. And pulling back from the eye reveals, interior, apartment, bedroom, night. A small, modestly furnished bedroom with a twin-sized bed, dresser drawer, and a nightstand dimly lit by a small lamp. On the bed is Albert Averett, an early 80s man with gray hair and a gaunt face adorned with gray stubble. In a wooden chair next to him sits Charlie Averett, a mid-40s man with a patterned baldness and a paunch in his belly. He looks at Albert with a mix of anticipation and worry. Albert motions for him to come closer. He leans in. Albert, there's a box in the top dresser drawer. Get it and bring it over here. Charlie obliges, retrieves the small wooden box from the drawer, and brings it back. Charlie sits down, holds the box in his lap. After a moment, Albert becomes agitated. Albert, well, open it up. Charlie opens the box. Inside is a bronze keychain, shaped like a Ferris wheel. He takes it out, marvels at it. Albert, I bought that for you. Charlie turns his attention back to Albert. Charlie, really? Yes, but you can't have it. Charlie furrows his brow, confused. Albert, you failed, Charlie. You failed to accomplish what you set out to do. Charlie, how did I fail? I'm riding Navy Pier next week. I won't be here next week. I'm still going to ride it. It's what I set out to do, and I'm going to do it. And you still won't be done. There will always be others, and I'll ride those too. How can I be sure? You've been nothing but a colossal fuck-up. No wife, no children, just you and those goddamn Ferris wheels. If I recall correctly, you like Ferris wheels too. Except it didn't ruin my life. I had a wife, a child. As much as you'd qualify as one anyway. I stopped riding to take care of my responsibilities. Charlie realizes something. Charlie, is that what this is about? That I'm going to do something that you didn't? Don't be such a fool. I would never be jealous of you. You're pathetic. Charlie opens his mouth to speak, but Albert cuts him off by reaching out his hand. Albert, hand it over.
What?
The keychain. Hand it over. Charlie clutches it in his hand.
Charlie, it's mine. I deserve it.
No, you don't.
Albert gives Charlie a stern look. Charlie caves, hands the keychain over.
Albert, it stays with me.
And with that, Albert closes his eyes and fades away with a death rattle. The keychain rests in his palm, flat on the bed. Charlie moves closer.
Charlie.
Dad?
Dad.
He gives Albert a few nudges, but no luck. Charlie's eyes move from Albert's down to the keychain in his hand. He's totally focused on it. Exterior, Navy Pier, Chicago, night. All is illuminated by bright white lights, and the brightest of all are those from the Ferris wheel, situated near the eastern end of the pier behind the large indoor mall. Standing at 150 foot high, the Ferris wheel offers wonderful panoramic views from the top. It's a warm summer night. Numerous people wander about the pier. Some stop to buy food from vendors. Others peruse items at the many kiosks. Exterior, Navy Pier, Ferris wheel, night. Charlie sits in a gondola, all alone. He looks through the bars of the gondola at the vast landscape. He takes advantage of the Ferris wheel's brief stoppage, snaps a picture of a boat on Lake Michigan, decorated with lights in Venetian night fashion. The Ferris wheel starts up again and moves Charlie's gondola one more position near the bottom. He turns his attention away from the lake to the city skyline, snaps a few more photos, tucks his camera into a small bag located on his hip, and takes out a set of keys. A set of keys attached to the Ferris wheel keychain. With a smile, Charlie gives the wheel a small spin and tucks it away in his bag. Exterior, Navy Pier, Ferris wheel, night, moments later. Charlie has now reached the bottom, and an attendant opens the door to the gondola to allow his exit. Charlie steps through the barricade and is immediately greeted by a reporter. Reporter, excuse me, are you Charlie Everett? Charlie, yeah, that's me. Mr. Everett, I'm with Sun-Times. Is it all right if I ask you a few questions? Sure, but no need to call me Mr. Everett. Charlie will be fine. Okay, Charlie. I gotta admit, I'm pretty surprised to see you here. Really? Aren't you the one who called? Yeah, but just on a lark. I figured this wouldn't really qualify as news. It'll be a good little story, I'm sure. So, how does it feel to accomplish what you have here today? It feels pretty good, really. I've been able to see a lot of great places all over the world, but finishing up here at home makes it that much more special. How exactly did you get the idea to ride every Ferris wheel in the world? Charlie laughs. Well, not every Ferris wheel, just the famous ones. If I tried to ride all of them, I'd probably be chasing some carnies through Kentucky right now. Right, just the famous ones, then. Charlie thinks it over for a moment. Charlie, I guess it's just my way of trying to accomplish something worthwhile.
Worthwhile?
Well, I guess it's not the same as charity work, but it's something. And have people been supportive of you in your quest? Well, I don't really talk to a whole lot of people about it, but my father was always very supportive of me. He gave me this.
Charlie reaches into his hip bag, grabs his keys, and shows the Ferris wheel keychain to the reporter.
Reporter, that's very nice.
Charlie,
yeah, it's pretty special to me. Now I feel like I've really earned it.
The reporter searches the area.
Reporter, is he here with you today? No, I'm afraid he's recently passed on.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's all right. I'm sure he's up there right now, beaming with pride.
They sit in silence for a moment, until the reporter gets back on the clock.
Any plans going forward?
No, not really. Just gonna sit back, take it easy, and keep an eye out for any new Ferris wheels that go up.
Great. Well, I think that's about all I need.
Will this be in tomorrow's newspaper?
You bet. Just look in the lifestyle section.
Will do.
Take care, Charlie.
Yep, you do the same.
The reporter shakes Charlie's hand and heads off into the crowd. Charlie scans the area, takes note of a Dippin' Dots stand. Exterior, Navy Pier, bench, night. Charlie sits on the bench, eats a cup of Dippin' Dots, and watches the various people that pass by. An old man, Yuri, late 70s, takes a seat on the bench next to Charlie, rests his hands on a hickory cane. He wears a large wool coat, much too heavy for this climate, and looks at Charlie with an intense stare. Although Charlie can sense it, he refuses to acknowledge it by looking at him. Yuri nods his head toward Charlie, speaks in a thick Ukrainian accent.
Yuri, you.
Charlie looks up from his Dippin' Dots.
Charlie, excuse me?
You are the one who rides the Ferris wheels, no?
Yeah, that's me.
And you have ridden every single one?
That's right. The London Eye, Singapore Flyer, the Southern Star, all of them right back here to the one at Navy Pier.
And what are your plans for the Beijing wheel?
Once it's built, I'll ride it. Yuri raises a curious eyebrow.
As well as the one in Berlin?
Charlie smiles, impressed. You know your stuff.
Yuri shrugs, humble.
I, too, am a rider of Ferris wheels.
Charlie tosses his Dippin' Dots into a nearby trash can, looks to Yuri, intrigued.
Really?
Yuri nods.
Since 1980, I have ridden them all.
Yuri gestures towards the large Ferris wheel behind them.
Well, now I have.
Yuri smiles. Charlie extends his hand.
Welcome to the club.
Yuri doesn't shake his hand.
It is I who should be welcoming you.
Well, I suppose it doesn't really matter, right? I mean, we've both taken a ride on every Ferris wheel in the world. Yuri shakes his head. Charlie sits, confused.
You still have one more to go.
How's that possible? Yuri reaches into the inner pocket of his coat, removes a picture, and hands it to Charlie. Charlie looks at the picture in wonder. It's a Ferris wheel, and it sits in desolation. Which one is this?
It doesn't have a name. It is known only as Ferris wheel.
Where is it? Yuri doesn't respond. Charlie asks again, more forceful this time. Well?
It is in Pripyat, in Ukraine.
Near Chernobyl? Yuri nods.
That is correct.
Are you fucking crazy? That place has been abandoned for over 20 years. It doesn't count.
As long as the Ferris wheel still stands, it counts.
Look at this thing, all rusted out and horrible looking. Probably doesn't even work.
It works. I know it does.
Oh, really? And how's that?
Because I have been on it.
When? In 85, when it was still operational? Yuri leans forward, a dead serious expression on his face.
6 weeks ago.
Charlie is taken aback. He looks back to the picture.
And if you want your claim in tomorrow's paper to be true, and earn your keychain, you too must ride it.
Wait, how do you know about... Charlie looks up from the picture. Yuri is gone. That... Charlie searches for Yuri, but he's nowhere in sight. He takes one last look at the picture before he deposits it in the garbage can and leaves. Interior, Navy Pier. Parking garage, night. Charlie exits the elevator and walks through the crowded lot. As he moves along, he reaches into his hip bag, takes out his keys. He freezes. Something's wrong. He looks at the keys to find that his Ferris wheel keychain is gone. A frantic search through his hip bag and a quick scan of the surrounding area confirm his fear. It's lost. He stomps on the ground in anger and heads toward his car. As he gets closer, something on the driver's seat's side window gets his interest. He studies it, but is unable to make out what it is. At the car, Charlie now sees what it is. An exact copy of the photo he deposited in the trash just moments ago, only this one has the words, "Ride it," written on it in black marker. Charlie looks around the garage. Nobody here. He rips the picture off the window, throws it to the ground, and gets in the car. Interior. Apartment. Living room. Day. A sparse apartment, decorated with only the essentials. An empty wheelchair sits in the corner. Charlie sits on the couch in a bathrobe, a cup of coffee on the table in front of him. He sifts through the morning paper until he finds the lifestyle section. He opens it up and searches for his article. When he finds it, his mouth drops in shock.
What the hell?
He drops the paper on the table and exits the room. Upon closer review, the paper has clearly been tampered with. The article is circled numerous times over with a red marker, and two arrows point to short yet succinct words, liar, thief. Charlie re-enters the room, a telephone pressed to his ear. Charlie.
Yes, hello? Hi, my name is Charles Averett. I'd like to report an intrusion. No, nobody's broken in, but someone is writing things in my newspaper and leaving stuff on my car.
Yes, I do. It's an old guy, Ukrainian, I think. Russian, maybe? No, I don't know his name. Isn't an old Ukrainian guy enough of a description for you to bring someone in to identify?
Charlie listens for a few moments longer this time.
You're serious? You honestly don't know where to start?
Here's a novel idea. How about the Ukrainian village?
Charlie hangs up the phone without waiting for a response, tosses it on the couch. A shuffle near the door gets his attention, and he looks over just in time to see an envelope slide underneath it. He rushes over and opens it up. Nobody there. He pokes his head out.
This isn't funny, old man. I know you stole my keychain and I want it back. I'm not kidding.
Charlie goes back inside, shuts the door and picks up the envelope. He looks at the front and back. There's nothing written on it. He opens it up, removes its articles. A letter, written on plain white paper, and a picture of his keychain.
Charlie, son of a bitch.
He unfolds the letter, reads it. Yuri, voiceover.
Your keychain is on its way to the site of your last ride. If you deserve it as much as you say... And if you are a man of honor, you will make the trip to Pripyat and ride the wheel.
Charlie shuts his eyes in anger, balls up the note and throws it to the ground.
God damn it!
He looks to the wheelchair, stares intently at its spokes. Lost in its reflection, he visualizes it as his keychain. It spins round and round, calls him. He calms.
I do deserve it.
Interior, Boryspil Airport, Ukraine, day. Charlie exits the gate and passes the ticket agent. He stops when he sees Vlad, an early 20s man who holds a sign with his name on it. Charlie walks to him.
I'm Charlie Averett.
Vlad lowers his sign, shakes Charlie's hand. Vlad.
We must go. We haven't much time.
Who sent you here?
We can discuss that in the car, Mr. Averett.
My father was Mr. Averett. Call me Charlie.
Yes. My apologies, Charlie. I am Vlad. Now if you'll just follow me, we can get you through customs and be on our way.
Vlad steps aside, gestures towards the customs area. Charlie shrugs, proceeds towards customs. Interior, exterior, Vlad's car, day. Vlad speeds along the winding road with crackerjack precision. Charlie sits in nervousness. Charlie, is it okay to be driving this fast?
This is Ukraine driving. It's fun, no?
Vlad smiles. Charlie doesn't.
Yeah, if you're into dying in a fiery hell.
Vlad looks to Charlie, who cracks a small smile.
Sorry, I make jokes when I'm nervous. Can you slow down a little, please?
Vlad eases up on the gas, drives at a more acceptable pace. Charlie calms.
So, who sent you to pick me up?
An old man named Yuri.
Is he here now?
I don't know. I was only told to pick you up and take you to the Ferris wheel in Pripyat.
Do you know why?
No. I can only think it's because you are crazy.
What's so crazy about it?
Anything to do with Pripyat is crazy. The entire city is in a zone of alienation.
What's that?
It means you should not go there.
Well, yeah, I kind of figured that based on the alienation part, but why?
The radiation is too high, at least in parts.
Like the Ferris wheel?
Is that where you are going?
Yes.
Why?
I have to ride it.
Angry, Vlad pulls the car to the side of the road.
This is not a time for jokes, Charlie. The Ferris wheel hasn't been functional since the disaster.
I know that.
Then why do you say you are going to ride it?
Because Yuri is making me.
How? How could he make you get on a plane, come here, and ride the Ferris wheel?
Sentimental reasons. He has something important of mine.
Surely it is not something that cannot be replaced.
It can't. And don't call me Shirley.
Vlad is confused.
Is that another joke?
Must be an American thing. Anyway, what he took to me is very important. It's my most prized possession, and he won't give it back until I ride the wheel.
The wheel that is not functional.
He said he rode it 6 weeks ago.
That is impossible.
Trust me, I believe you, but that's what he said. Wouldn't somebody notice something like that?
There are many mysteries surrounding the Pripyat. The Ferris wheel is the biggest of them all. There are legends that say it will start itself up at night, and those who died in the disaster will ride it for amusement.
Do you believe that?
No, I believe it is just a story used to scare children. The wheel only moves when the wind commands it to.
Charlie is frustrated.
Then how the hell am I supposed to ride it?
That has already been thought of. I will explain when we get to your destination.
My destination? You're not coming with me?
Vlad drives off without a response. Exterior, zone of alienation, entrance, night. Vlad's car pulls up to a large fence covered in barbed wire. This is the only means of security, as there's not another soul in sight. Vlad and Charlie exit the car. Charlie sizes up the fence. Vlad goes to the trunk. Charlie,
doesn't look too bad. You think they'd be a little more on the ball about keeping people out.
It is not necessary.
Why not?
Because everybody knows that only a fool will go past the fence.
Vlad pulls a bag from the trunk, strains a little. It's heavy. He carries it over to Charlie and sets it down at his feet.
What's that?
Your supplies.
Charlie bends down, opens the bag. Inside are three items, a pair of small bolt cutters, a pair of pliers, and a car battery. Charlie looks up to Vlad.
Vlad,
to power the wheel.
How far do I need to carry this thing?
Vlad thinks it over.
About 2 kilometers.
Shit.
It is not too late to reconsider.
Is there another way to get my keychain back?
Vlad's eyes go wide in surprise.
A keychain? You're doing all this for a stupid keychain.
It's not stupid. It's mine.
You do not understand. You...
No, you don't understand. I earned that keychain. I want it back, and nobody's going to stop me. Not you, not my dad, and definitely not Yuri.
Charlie goes to the fence, cuts at the chain link with the bolt cutters. When he's got a spot big enough for him to fit through, he tosses the cutters to the ground, looks back to Vlad. Vlad offers a salute.
Godspeed, Charlie.
Yeah.
Vlad gets in the car, drives off. Charlie watches the car until its lights fade into the darkness. He picks up the bag and enters the zone of alienation through the fence. Exterior, Pripyat, City Square, night. Charlie walks along, breathes heavily from the weight of the large battery he carries. He scans the area. Nothing. A desolate ghost town, frozen in time. Large brick buildings are strewn about, perfectly vacant, yet vastly different. Through the windows, some of them appear to be untouched, perfectly made beds. Small articles still rest on night tables, the land that time forgot. Other buildings have been totally looted. The only sign of life is the large trees that have sprung up at their center, large branches stretched through the windows and roofs. Charlie takes in this surreal environment, shakes his head in awe. His eyes go wide. He vomits. He crouches over, looks at the puddle of mess he's made on the pavement. Contrasted against the pale, gray buildings, it looks like a Technicolor wonder show. Yuri, off screen.
You have come.
Charlie looks up to see Yuri just a few yards away. He rights himself, adjusts the bag on his shoulder. Charlie, give me the keychain.
I don't have it.
Where is it?
At the site of your last ride, just as I stated in my letter.
Yuri gestures towards the vomit.
I see that it has begun.
What's begun? Yuri gestures for him to follow.
We must go. We do not have much time.
Yuri walks off. Charlie hurries to catch up with him. What do you mean, we don't have much time?
You're already showing the signs of radiation exposure. Nausea? Vomiting? Do you have a headache?
A little bit, yeah.
Then our time is short. You must get to the Ferris wheel immediately.
Charlie puts his hand on Yuri's shoulder, stops him in his tracks. Our time is short? You tell me I'm gonna die?
It is quite possible.
Then what am I doing here?
Because you want your keychain, and your claim of riding every great Ferris wheel on Earth to be true.
Every great functioning Ferris wheel on Earth, there's a difference.
I have already told you, the wheel is functional.
Charlie gestures toward the bag. Oh yeah? Then what the hell am I doing with this thing? Yuri smiles.
Although it is functional, it does require a little bit of help.
Charlie removes his hand from Yuri's shoulder, and Yuri proceeds onward. I'm throwing you off when we get to the top. Charlie walks onward. Exterior. Pripyat. Ferris wheel. Charlie and Yuri stand at the base of the great Ferris wheel, which doesn't appear to be all that great, nor as functional as Yuri claimed. Some of the gondolas look downright dangerous, with missing pieces that are strewn about the ground. There's no way this thing works. Yuri waves a finger in the air in a circular motion, like the spin of a Ferris wheel.
Round and round and round it goes.
Almost as if by Yuri's command, the wind suddenly picks up, and the Ferris wheel begins a slow spin. Charlie looks between the Ferris wheel and Yuri's finger in amazement. Yuri lowers his finger. The wind stops, and Charlie vomits. Charlie wipes his mouth with his forearm. Who are you?
I am nobody.
Bullshit. You never met me, yet you know everything about me. And you can wave your finger and cause the goddamn wind to move the Ferris wheel. They lock eyes. Charlie is apprehensive. Are you the devil? A moment of silence as Charlie waits for an answer. Yuri can only laugh. What's so funny? Yuri continues his laugh. I said, what's so funny, asshole? Charlie grabs him by the lapels, shakes him with vigor. The shakes do more damage to Charlie, as a clump of hair falls from his head, lands on the bridge of his nose. Charlie releases his grip, blows the piece of hair from his face, then runs a hand through his head. He looks at his palm. Bits of hair are wedged between his fingers. Charlie, horrified, shows his hair-covered hand to Yuri. What the hell is this?
It's one of the effects of the radiation exposure. Hair loss occurs at 300 rems.
Rems?
Roentgen equivalent in man.
Charlie clutches his stomach in pain. What's happening?
In addition to hair loss, your nerve cells, as well as the cells that line your digestive tract, are now severely damaged. I suggest you hurry.
Charlie, still with a firm grip on his stomach, makes his way to the junction box of the Ferris wheel. He pries the cover loose, looks at the mess of wires, then back to Yuri. How the hell am I supposed to figure this out? Yuri rolls his eyes.
Black to black, white to red.
Charlie looks back to the box and untwists the two sets of red and black wires. He pulls the battery from the bag, sets it on the ground, and wastes no time in connecting the black wire to the black terminal on the battery. He grabs the white wire, and just as he's ready to connect it to the red terminal, Yuri grabs his hand, startles him. What are you doing? Yuri reaches into the bag, takes out a pair of pliers.
Use this. You don't want to fry yourself.
Charlie takes the pliers and uses them to connect the white wire. When it's firmly in place, the Ferris wheel whirs to life. It's functional, but an outright mess, with only a handful of the once ornate and illustrious bulbs still actually working. Charlie gets up, walks to a lever near the wheel, and pulls back on it. The wheel stops. Turn it on when I get in. Charlie takes a step toward the Ferris wheel, but steps back when it starts moving. He looks to Yuri, who mans the lever. You want to wait until I get in?
You need to get in the right one.
Charlie turns back to the wheel, watches it spin around. There's nothing different about any of the cars, other than those that are missing parts. Charlie looks back to Yuri. What's the right one? Yuri pulls back on the lever, stops the Ferris wheel.
That one.
Charlie looks back to the wheel. The gondola in the seating area contains Charlie's prized keychain. Charlie looks back to Yuri, who motions for him to get in the seat.
It is your destiny, Charlie Everett. You must ride the wheel.
Charlie clutches his stomach, stands in silence. He looks up to Yuri. I'm never getting off of it, am I? Yuri does not respond. Charlie removes the hand from his stomach, stands up straight, brave. He accepts his fate. He makes the walk to the gondola, takes a seat.
He picks up the keychain, grips it tightly in his hand. He pulls the safety bar across his waist, nods to Yuri. He's ready. Yuri pulls the lever, and the wheel whirs to life as the sound of a police car can be heard in the distance. As Charlie's gondola reaches the top, he can see the whole city of Pripyat below. From this view, it doesn't look much better, but the skyline of Slavutych is much more enlightening, appearing to be everything that Pripyat once was. Charlie catches a glimpse of the police car as it enters through the gates a couple of kilometers away. The Ferris wheel makes its descent. Charlie watches the car until he can no longer see it. The cops are... Charlie looks at the lever. It's vacant. Coming. What the hell? Charlie stares at the unmanned lever as the Ferris wheel begins its climb yet again. Charlie covers his mouth with his hand, coughs. He pulls away. There's blood on it. His breathing is heavy, labored. He shuts his eyes, tries to regain himself. When he opens them, he's descending. The police are halfway to him now. He brings the keychain to eye level, and like a kid with a new toy, spins it around. He smiles, watches the little wheel spin on its tiny base. As he does, his body slowly transforms into tiny dust particles. He fades into the night air, forever smiling. The police arrive on the scene and exit the car, dressed in hazmat suits. Officer 1 shuts the Ferris wheel down while Officer 2 inspects it, seeking out intruders. Officer 2 shines his light on the gondola, then sees it. Charlie's little trinket lies on the seat, its bronze finish reflecting in the light's beam. Officer 2 reaches out to grab it, but Officer 1 stops him with a firm hand on his wrist. Officer 1, in Ukrainian, "What, you want to take death home with you? Leave the ghosts where they lie." Officer 1 releases his grip. They go back to their car, and waste no time in getting out of there. Exterior, vast white landscape, unknown. A large area of nothing but bright white light as far as the eye can see, until a small speck appears in the distance and gets rapidly larger and larger as we approach. The speck is a Ferris wheel, immaculate in its look and design. It contains two passengers, Charlie, who still has the childish smile from Pripyat on his face, and Yuri, who laughs a hearty laugh, enjoying not only the ride, but someone to finally ride the wheel with. Charlie has a revelation, looks at his hand, empty. He searches the seat. The keychain is nowhere to be found. Yuri's laugh turns downright manic. Charlie looks up, and sheer terror overcomes him. Yuri has been replaced by Albert, and the loud, maniacal laugh will taunt Charlie for all eternity. Wider. The Ferris wheel continues to whirl as we dissolve to the keychain, still spinning, still dangling from Tanis's finger. Tanis, I'll scream. Everybody be collecting something. Some people spend their lives collecting mistakes. She pokes the keychain with her finger, and it ceases to spin. That called experience. Wider. Tanis closes her fist around the keychain. But there's so many people collecting nothing but dust. She opens her fist, and the keychain has vanished. Her hand contains only fine gray powder. Them's the ones that's sad when the ride is over. Them's the ones wanting to go around just one more time. Tanis lifts her hand above the candle, letting the dust trickle from her hand to the flame. And whoosh, the small flame roars to life. It sputters and pops with a hot chaos of color and smoke. That's the thing about Ferris wheel. When the ride be over, you getting off, if you like it or not. So you got to be taking the view while you can. With the flame of the candle calmed once more, Tanis leans in towards it. Now you leave Tanis be. She blows out the candle with a small puff, and all becomes dark. Go see something. This concludes the iScript of Soul Shadows 2 for Sentimental Reasons. Feel free to visit us at www.iscript.com.
Our privacy policy strictly forbids the resale or transfer of any iScript product that you obtain a limited license to by downloading the script for your personal use. We have agreed with all parties that provide availability of scripted material that we will cooperate to the fullest extent allowed by law to prosecute any unauthorized use of an iScript product.